This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Is Sky Blues Extra.
Hello and welcome to the Sky Blues Extra podcast, which is kindly sponsored by Shortland Horn, Coventry's leading estate agents. My name is Tom Ward and I'm pleased to be joined this evening by Ross.
Evening, mate.
Evening, mate. And I'm also joined by Andy.
Evening, lads. How are we?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. Yeah, pretty good, after yesterday, anyway. Yeah, it's good to have you on. Obviously, a mixed week for the Sky Blues, as they fell to 1-0 defeat at the hands of Luton on Tuesday, then an emphatic 4-1 win at home to Sheffield United yesterday. So, yeah, obviously, as usual, we'll look back at all the action and all of the key moments from the week. Andy, I'll start with you. How are you feeling after this week's instalment?
Yeah, really good, mate. I was a bit concerned, if I was being honest, about yesterday's game before. I couldn't see us getting any points, but I was, you know, happy to be proved wrong. Fabulous performance yesterday, and it's really got our season back again, hasn't it, really? If we would have lost yesterday, it would have been three losses in a trot. You know, it would have been all a bit doom and gloom looking back at, you know, looking behind us instead of looking forward. But now that win's massive, puts us 3 points away from the playoffs and we can start looking up again, Tom. So, yeah, really, really happy.
Yeah, it's funny how it can switch, isn't it? You know, from Tuesday, yeah. Where I don't know about you, but I thought it's probably over, isn't it, really, for the playoffs?
Yeah, I tweeted it. I said I thought it was over. So if we get into the playoffs now, yeah, that tweet's going to come up and bite me on the arse, isn't it? You know, happy to be proved wrong. If we get more into the playoffs or sneak into the playoffs, I'll be more than happy. To be honest, that was just the tonic yesterday, wasn't it? We needed that win, didn't we?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was fantastic performance, and obviously we'll get into that in more detail. Ross, how are you feeling? Obviously, you know, Tuesday's defeat, you know, felt like the playoffs were over, but then, you know, obviously winning yesterday, has it kind of changed your mind on things a little bit?
I mean, yeah, it certainly has. I think the same as like Andy said and yourself. I think at 10 p.m. on Tuesday, it was sort of feeling like I probably sort of felt 90% it was sort of done. You know, you sort of hold out this sort of slim hope until it's sort of mathematically impossible. But it felt like it was another opportunity missed. It was sort of the same old story. But then the positive thing this season is there's a lot of teams in and around it, which means they've got to play each other. They're all going to drop points. And then yeah. I guess what gave me that sliver of hope that I wasn't 100% sort of thinking it was over was because I thought we've got this big game against Sheffield United, and if we can somehow, you know, and I was the same as Andy, I wasn't feeling too confident, but I was thinking if we can sort of, you know, get a win, then suddenly we look at it, we've got two games after that are winnable, and then suddenly we could be back in it. So I'm more hopeful now, of course, but we've got a huge couple of games, and we've got a monumental April, which is full of six-pointers, but in a good sense. We literally play everybody, don't we, really, who's above us sort of thing. So it's, we're in a great position. It's something to look forward to. We're 1 point off our total for last season. We're 10 games to go. So unreal progress. And it's just great to still be having this conversation. You know, if we had failed to win yesterday, we'd probably all be sat here and gone, yeah, it's definitely over now. So it's great that it's, you know, lasts another week at least.
Yeah, 100%. It's a funny one, isn't it, when you look at the fixtures, because everyone looked at that April and thought, you know, they were going to be the really hard games in the running. But I don't know, there's just that gut feeling that we just seem to switch it on in some of these big games, don't we? Like, I think about Rotherham last season when, you know, we needed to win, and I don't know, Robbins just seems to pull out the bag, and obviously he wasn't actually there, but obviously prepared the team well. And we seem to turn it on sometimes, don't we, Ross? So you don't necessarily fear some of those games in April.
I think we're good. I think we're a good team when other teams try and attack us. You know, we saw it with Fulham. We saw it yesterday. And there's been other games, even if we've not necessarily got the result, but QPR, we were fantastic for the whole game. You know, and those sort of end-to-end games, I really fancy our chances. The issue we seem to have is when we play a team who we give them a head start, and then it just plays into their hands and they just park everyone behind the ball, and suddenly we've got to try and open it, and they just sort of frustrate us. That's when we sort of come up short slightly. But in these games, like you say, Bournemouth away, and, you know, yesterday, Fulham, you know, QPR at home, Middlesbrough away. Yes, we didn't get the results in all of those, but we played attacking stuff and we create chances. Yeah. On another day, we should have picked up maximum points in a lot more of those games. So, yeah, I think it sort of plays into our hands, and I think Sheffield United did that yesterday, really.
Yeah. Let's talk briefly about Tuesday. Andy, what were the match stats for the Luton game?
Same as always, apart from yesterday, really, Tom. We dominated the ball. We had 61% possession. We had 12 shots compared to their six, but only hit the target three times. And every time we hit the target, was straight down the middle. We had 356 passes completed compared to their 175. So that just shows, again, the dominance of our team, the way we, but that's been like that all season, which is a good thing. I'm not, that's a brilliant thing. And how we dominate the ball is great. But it's just that obviously clinical cutting edge in the final third. We just weren't clinical enough on Tuesday night. We just kept on, when we did get the opportunity, we just kept on putting it straight down the keeper's throat, which was a bit frustrating. Defensively wise, 16 interceptions compared to their 11. And we won 19 tackles compared to their 22. So quite similar in that aspect. But the most concerning thing for me, again, was the lack of clinical edge for us.
Yeah, for sure. Which, you know, we've seen across the season in certain games. Ross, you sent me a very helpful match report while I was away, which obviously helped to sort of paint a picture of where things went wrong. But we actually started the game quite well, didn't we?
Yeah, it was the same old story, you know, in how many games recently where we came out of the traps and really fast, which I thought we would. I thought, you know, on the back of the defeat prior and then obviously getting smashed at their place, I thought we need a response, and we came out and we should have scored after 15 seconds, had a great chance. And we started on the front foot, and for 38 minutes, it was just one team in it. I mean, Luton were shocking, you know, the amount of times they just kick the ball out of play, you know, misplaced passes. And, you know, we can probably count on one hand the amount of performances we've had like that, probably one of them when we played Luton away. But the difference is, you know, we find ourselves 3-0 down when we perform badly, and then other teams come to us and are off it and suddenly find themselves 1-0 up. You know, it's bizarre. But we did start ever so well. The first 38 minutes, we were on the front foot. Hamer was electric, and so was Jamie Allen. And it was just a really positive start to the game. And you sort of sit there and you're thinking, surely it's got to be a matter of time before we sort of put these to the sword, you know?
Frustrating, really. And as Ross says, Andy, you know, we should have taken the lead, really. And Vic had a brilliant chance, didn't he, to take the lead, but just, straight the keeper.
Yeah, not just like we said earlier, didn't we? Just didn't put it in the corner, did he? He just straight the keeper. I don't know whether he rushed it a little bit or not. It wasn't the cleanest of contacts, and it was quite easy for the keeper to say. But, you know, he needs to be putting those in the corners, which he did. He did yesterday, didn't he? He put one right in the corner, the keeper tipped around the post, which was a sign of things to come. So, unlucky by Vic. But, you know, when he's in that position, he needs to be hitting the corners more than not, Tom.
His finishing's not been quite at the level it was perhaps earlier in the season. He's perhaps made up for that a little bit yesterday, but yeah, you'd like to see him taking those chances.
Yeah, well, he's got 14 now, hasn't he, this season? So, you know...
it's not bad. It's not bad, is it?
Not bad at all. It's a good total, Tom. And if he adds a few more and gets up to that 20 mark, you know, you can't say anything against him, really, can you, Tom?
100% agree with that. Mm. Ross, for their goal, it was a mistake from Rose. And I know you've had something to say about this in the group chat and various conversations. So I'll definitely let you take this one and get it off your chest.
Well, I mean, we were dominating them for 38 minutes, and I would call it a sucker punch. You know, it was the same happened when we played Blackpool. You remember we were on top, and then suddenly, you know, a mistake that day, and they took the lead, and the same thing happened. But I wouldn't even say it was a sucker punch because Luton just weren't throwing any jabs at all. They weren't attacking. You know, we sort of just tripped over and face planted their fist. It felt like, you know, and it was just one long ball. And yeah, Rose was at fault for this goal, and I was just very frustrated because he sort of, there's no one around him. And when I hear, like, you know, Clive try and blame the pitch, I just thought, you know, at post-match, I thought, what am I hearing? You know, why is the length of the grass affecting Rose's ability to sort of just do a standard bread and butter header away? And I guess the thing is not more like being critical of Rose. It was more sort of, I feel like we missed Haim on Tuesday. And I know, Andy, you're a big fan of Haim. But
No. To get to your point on that, Ross, I agree. You know, I have my criticism of Haim, but I think recently, bar yesterday, yeah, we have missed his ability.
And I agree. I think, I mean, you look at Rose and Haim from League One, that they've got such a good partnership, and I think they've both been fantastic. I just think, obviously, then Rose was exceptional in the FA Cup game against Southampton, and I think suddenly a lot of hype's built up for Rose, and Haim doesn't seem to get the same sort of level of hype. But even though in recent games, I think Rose has actually been at fault for quite a number of goals, and maybe they go unnoticed because we beat Reading, and both goals he could have done better in those. And I think if that was Haim, I think he gets a lot more stick from the fan base than, say, Rose does. So, and then Tuesday night was very frustrated again, because I just thought, well, if that was Haim missing that header and then them scoring, I can imagine this sort of, you know, uproar generally across sort of about it. So I just think, you know, and Haim's made mistakes this season, but he learns from them. And Rose played very, very well yesterday against Sheffield United. So, he's learned from them. And I just think we've got a good sort of those three centre-backs along with Clark Salter. You know, at times this season, they've all made mistakes. But we seem to sort of bounce back. And that's, you know, I guess that's the sort of positive thing. But on Tuesday, obviously, it was a bad mistake. And you could see in his reaction, he knew. But then on, he just got bullied by that sort of Luton attacker, which was disappointing to see, because normally he sort of, you know, does dictate the game, Rose, from the back. And maybe it was because he was sort of playing on the right of the three at the back. You know, obviously, he's been playing centre, hasn't he, when Fads has been on the bench. So maybe it was the change in position. But it was a disappointing mistake. And obviously, it was a sucker punch. And I do have to say, I don't think Moore should be necessarily getting beat from that angle either, you know, which was the other frustrating thing. Because, of course, we had, as you said, Wardy, we had that chance with Vic literally 60 seconds earlier from a much better angle. And he's hit it straight at the keeper, which just seems to be what we all players like to do. And then they had the tightest of angle and he just put it in the corner. I just sat there and smiled and thought, of course. <You know. laughs>
Yeah, very, very frustrating. Andy, how frustrated have you been by the number of games we've gone behind in this season?
Yeah, it's very difficult, isn't it, in football to come back all the time. But we have. The amount of goals that we've done come back from has been amazing this season. It shows the character and resolution of this team. But it's not very good for your nerves, is it, Tom?
No.
Keep going 1-0 down. You know, it's not great for your nerves, especially at my age. So, but yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes, I think the thing is that sometimes you just can't get it back. You know, there's, you know, Sheffield United, we managed to turn them over in a fantastic second half performance. Mm. But then you've got games like Luton where they make it really hard for you and you're chasing the game and you just, some weeks, you're just not going to do it. You know, like Ross said, it's real fine margins between those chances in the first half, and it's the difference between.
It plays into their hands, doesn't it? Some teams, given that,
of course.
I mean, and we've played 36 games this season. We've gone behind in 22 of them. I mean, and like you say, we're not always going to. Blackpool, we went behind. We managed to salvage a draw, and the frustrating thing is, you know, we were trying to get a draw against Luton, but really, it's like we should be 2-0 up. You know, and this season, when we've taken the lead, we've only lost it once, and that was away at Preston. Whenever we've taken the lead at home, apart from Derby where we drew, we go on and win the game. Peterborough, we smashed them both times. So we are very good at coming back. And as you say, Andy, but you're not going to do it all the time. And that's what's frustrating. You know, and yesterday we did it, but Luton, you know, and Millwall and those sort of games, it's frustrating because you sort of feel like we should be getting a lot more than what the performances deserved.
That's something that Robbins needs to address in the summer, isn't it?
Yeah.
The clinical nature of our play, because that's the missing piece of the jigsaw, isn't it? Let's be honest. The change from last season to this season, the way we dominate the ball, if we start putting a few more chances away and being a little bit more clinical, we are going to be in that playoff race. It's cemented, not trying to get in, we'll be cemented in it.
It's just the next phase in our progression, isn't it, Andy?
It is.
I mean, how much did we talk about last season there just being so many defensive mistakes and penalties given away, and that we've moved on miles away from that. We're just such a better team than last year, and it's just now that, you know, just being that bit more streetwise and being a bit more like the Lutons and, you know, figuring out how we get a scrappy 1-0 win is just, I think we need to be a bit more
streetwise,
you know, like that.
Yeah.
There's no doubting our style of play is fantastic. We're playing such nice football and we're brilliant to watch, but it's just grinding out those results, isn't it, when you need to, that will probably be the difference.
100%.
We won't dwell on the game for too long, but I'll grab a man of the match from both of you. Were there any standout performances for you, Andy?
Yeah, Hamer. I thought he was fantastic on the night. He's really benefited from that couple of games when he was suspended, hasn't he? He's come back and really, really started to dominate the ball. And he won the most tackles. He won 6, which was the most of our team. Plus, he had the most key passes, which were 4, which was the best of our team. So he was doing well in the defensive third and he was doing well in the attacking third for me. I thought he was great.
Ross, any difference there?
No, and everything Andy says there's spot on. Hamer, he looked like he benefited, like Andy said, from those couple of games rest, and also he looked like he benefited from that new contract, because he was unbelievable, to be fair. I mean, he literally was everywhere. He was like winning the ball, like suddenly in left back position, then he'd be over. I mean, it was unbelievable, to be fair, and it was just criminal that we just didn't end up being like 2-0 up, because he was running the show, you know. And on that note, it's just brilliant that we've gotten tied down. So
Yeah. Worth mentioning as well, actually, because obviously I think that's probably news since the last podcast. Andy, great news on getting him tied down, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. How many times in the past recently have we let our good players go for not as much as they should have been? So it just again shows where the club is at. It shows that they're being very clever, because if someone comes up with him with a bid in the summer, hopefully that doesn't happen, because we really need him for next season if we're going to push on. But if they did, then we can start dictating the terms instead of being dictated to. So no, yeah, fantastic stuff.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We'll now move on to the more positive result of the week and talk about yesterday's 4-1 win over Sheffield United. First of all, Ross, we'll talk about the slightly strange news that came in before kickoff, that obviously Robbins and Adi Vivesh wouldn't be able to be on the touchline due to testing positive for COVID. Slightly odd one, isn't it? It's not one you know that has happened to us before. Dennis Lawrence sort of took the reins in that respect.
Yeah, no, it was like you say. I wasn't expecting it at all, and I guess with everything else that's going on in the world and stuff, and with obviously the restrictions and not having to isolate and all this sort of stuff, it's quite easy to almost forget that it's still, you know, quite rife, and there's still that very high chance of that it could have happened. I just didn't sort of expect it at all, because we've not had any players test positive, you know, for a while, and stuff like that. So to see that they both had, I suddenly thought, it made me feel slightly anxious, because I thought, all right, you know what I mean? That's both of them sort of not on the touchline. But Dennis Lawrence has obviously been a really good addition this season to the backroom staff. You know, clearly, you know, they wanted to make a change in that regard. So he's come in, and yeah, it was one of those, I'm sure, obviously Robbins and AD would have, you know, prepped the team as they always would. And I mean, I was speaking to Dave Moore, you know, at the brewery, and he said, well, we might see some substitutes today. So, because Robbins wasn't on the line. But no, yes, it was one of those that you don't expect to see. But hopefully they get well soon.
Yeah, 100%. I wonder what Robbins made of Clive's commentary on the old iPhone.
Oh, goodness me. he'd have had it on mute. There's no way he would have been.
I wonder if he gets his own special feed without the commentary or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
Also must be tricky being a minute or two behind as well. So all sorts of things that you just wonder how it all works, don't you? But funny situation. The lineup was quite pleasing to see. Obviously Cal and Dabo both back into the side. What did you make of the lineup, Andy?
Yeah, really good, because let's be honest, against Luton, Waghorn in behind Godden and Vic didn't work, did it? We've missed Cal.
Yeah, we have.
We big time. I think people, you don't really realise you miss someone when they've got, until they've gone.
Yeah.
And
well, back-to-back defeats sort of speaks for itself, doesn't it? I think that's the first time, is it, all season?
It does, and you kind of take his attacking, not attacking, but more maybe his defensive ability for granted. Him being in our team is a vital cog in our team, and not just offensively, but defensively. And the way he works back, wins the ball back for us, it's very important, and we've missed him badly. Kane has struggled recently, hasn't he, for form? He's carrying a knock as well, isn't he? Which I think might be affecting him a little bit. So it won't do him any harm, just taking a couple of games out for a couple of games. And it gives Dabo a good chance now to, you know, get his head down and finish the season strongly for next season, because his season hasn't been great, has it? It's been very
inconsistent. No.
So, so if he has a strong finish to the season, he can carry that on for next, can't he? So, no, I was pleased with the both changes, Tom, and as we well know, they worked perfectly.
Yeah, they absolutely did. And I know, Andy, you've been looking forward to this moment, probably. Yeah. Match stats.
Possession was a bit low. It was 47.9%, but I don't care. We had 27 shots and 15 on target. Now, that's just unbelievable, isn't it? Not 27 shots and 2 on target, 27 and 15 on target, Tom. Now, that
is it the most in the division this season, did I read somewhere?
Yeah.
100%. The most shots, in the game. Wow. Yeah, I mean, that's mad, isn't it?
Absolute brilliant. So that's what I've been waiting for all season. I know I've had to wait until March, but it's finally come, and I'm happy with that. So yeah, and that's, I'm going to leave it there. I don't care about the tackle and the aerial duel. They can piss off. I don't care.
There you go. I knew you'd be happy with the stats, Andy.
Yeah.
As soon as I saw that 27, you were the first person I thought of.
I don't know if that's that all good.
exactly. Yeah. Don't know which way to think about that one.
No,
really good stats, and absolutely, battered them second half. But obviously we'll go through the game. What did you make of the early exchanges, Ross?
I mean, the game, when I always feel like there's certain teams that when we play, it's got a vibe, like a big game feel, and it certainly had that. Obviously Sheffield United bringing 4,000 down, and obviously our fans were incredible again, as always. And it felt quite tense, I guess, maybe after the midweek sort of defeat. Not a nervous start, but it sort of took us a little, a few minutes just to sort of settle in, I think, and sort of find our rhythm, which obviously we did eventually with an aplomb. But we started a little bit rusty, I guess, but it was, but so did they. There wasn't much to separate the sides, I don't think.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to really tell who was above who, I suppose, in those early moments. Unfortunately, we did go behind again, Andy. They took the lead. Bit messy at the back, this one, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. No one was marking him, were they, Tom? But I would say it was a good pick out.
He's a big lad as well.
Yeah, it was a good pick out. Was it Hullerham who picked him out? It was a good delivery into the box. It was a good pick out, and he buried it, didn't he, to be honest with you. No, Simon Moore had no chance with that one, but the marking was loose. It reminded me a little bit of the Bristol City marking, away from home, mm-hmm. when Martin scored. It was a bit of that essence, which is poor, and to start a game, it couldn't have started any worse, could it, really, after defeated Luton. So poor goal to concede, Tom, but the way we reacted was fantastic. So
exactly, it was a strange one. It's sort of when it went in, and you obviously look towards the away end, and you see all the limbs, and you think, what's going to happen here? Nothing worse. But then actually, as soon as we kick back off again, Ross, it sort of had a different feel towards it. It felt like we bounced back a bit, and we actually looked really energetic and much more in the game, weren't we, after the goal?
Yeah, we were. And it was sort of very reminiscent of the Fulham game earlier in the season, where, Sheffield United continued to attack, and we were sort of exploiting those spaces. And it was almost a bit like, well, we've got nothing to lose here,
Exactly.
If we don't win this game, then it is pretty much over. So let's just go for it. And we responded well. And I mean, Vic, even from the very early exchanges, and I always try and judge the early game of those first few duels Vic has. If he wins them, I think he's got the defenders on toast for the whole game. If he struggles, then it's sort of, you think, oh, which way is this going to go? And he had their centre-backs, honestly, on he had such a great game. They were having a torrid time, and we were creating openings, and you sort of felt like, there's a chance that we can get back into this game. And obviously we did. And I think sometimes it's good to respond as quick as possible, because I think sometimes the longer the game goes on, that's when frustration starts to creep in. And then we go chasing it rather than just playing our game.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think even opposition players know that about Vic. You know, I think he's quite, you know, known in the division. He's obviously one of the top goal scorers. That people know he's a bit of a handful. He gets a lot of praise from opposition managers and fans, etc. And they probably feel the same. You know, they see him on his game and they think, oh, this is going to be a tough afternoon. Yeah. And you notice it in how they play. You know, they have to almost give him a bit of respect, and almost sometimes there's balls down the wing where they almost let him get it first because that's better than them being out of position. And yeah, it just gives him a nightmare, doesn't it, Ross?
It does. I mean, he loves that sort of drifting out to the left, doesn't he? And then sort of dribbling, yeah. And you don't know which way he's going to go. He's just so strong. And the good thing about him, what I love about him, is his work rate, but he's relentless. Like, he never sort of, the defender might win the first duel, he never gives it up, like you say, and he never gives them like an easy clearance or an easy way out. Even if he might lose it initially, he goes again, and often he'll win the ball back again, and then we sustain an attack. And yeah, he's brilliant. And it was like Andy was saying earlier, you know, 14 goals in all competitions this season. And I don't think his finishing yet is as clinical as it can be. Like, obviously last week, Matt was saying about trying to say Godden and Victor's finishing is the same. But even that the goal he did score is still quite close to the goalkeeper. And I think that once he starts finishing it with real conviction, he could be on 20 goals already this season. And, you know, which is, it's scary, like how, I mean, he's got 14 goals and his finishings. I mean, there's been some great strikes, like from distance against Cardiff and Stoke. And sometimes it's some of the easier ones, which they sort of go in and you sort of go, oh, I mean, another day it might not have gone in. So a bit like the Blackpool where it sort of goes through the keeper, and this one as well. I mean, the keeper just didn't even bother, did he? He's relentless, Vic, and he's just come on leaps and bounds. Because I know I have to eat humble pie last season when we signed him. I did the first few games. Again, he was another one who you sort of thought, I'm not sure, like, you know, what necessarily he's adding in the early exchanges. And you give him time. We signed him on a permanent, and he's just improved so much, hasn't he? It's brilliant to see.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, 100%. Real key player for us. And it was, great to see him get us back. Level Andy, as Ross said, it's sort of just about winning. They're quite hard, those ones, though. Having played myself, like, you almost have too much time to think about it. But, you know, he did just about slot it past the keeper, didn't he?
Just about, nearly missed it. But you are right when that, you know, when you are clean through and you've got ages to think about it, sometimes you think about it too much and you like scuff it in, and that's how it happened.
Yeah.
I was quite surprised the keeper didn't save it. I thought it was Paul by the other keeper, to be honest.
Yeah.
He just went past him. But no, we're more than happy to see it hit the back of the net, because that instant response was just exactly what we needed in a big game like this.
Yeah, massive goal really at that moment, isn't it? I mean, after what we've always just talked about against Luton and missing our chances and Vic having that one, and you think if he'd have missed that one, I don't know. I think the crowd would have just been so deflated at that point.
I agree.
And also, I do think it was a bit of a ploy by us as well to play. I noticed yesterday that we went a bit more direct. We tried to turn them a little bit more than we always have done. We really focused on their centre-halves, which was a definite ploy by Robinson and AD before the game, because we went longer than we normally did. And just to give Rose a little bit of praise, Ross, nice little ball that was, wasn't it?
It was a great ball. It was funny actually, because their defender did exactly the same mistake that Rose did on Tuesday night, just missed his header.
So yeah, they must have been talking to each other.
And to fair, those balls, because I think Rose's passing is very good, and actually it was a good ball, and it was a great run by Vic actually, because Dodden dropped slightly deeper, so then the two defenders didn't know where to go, and he was onside. And obviously, Sheffield United would be disappointed with their defender, but it was, he got it in, and that's the main thing. Then we were back on terms. So.
Yeah, we tried to turn it around quite a lot there yesterday, which is a good tactical sense by Robbins. Brilliant stuff.
Yeah, 100%. We're going to have to talk about this indirect free kick, Ross. I don't have any ideas why he gave it. Do you have any ideas?
Well, at the time, I had no idea it just went all a bit scrappy. And then I had no idea what was going on. And then he put his hand in the air, and I was thinking, oh, what's he doing? Is he stretching, or, you know? And then suddenly, I'm thinking, I don't think I've ever seen live in person an indirect free kick like that in the box.
I know.
And I was just like, often on Match of the Day and other things, you'll see things sort of like how it happened. And obviously watching on a replay, and they never give them, because it's always like, well, Alan's gone to clear it. Fads has sort of gotten his way, and it sort of trickled through, and Moore's picked it up, and obviously then he's given it. So I didn't know what was going on. The fans are fuming.
It's just odd, isn't it? Because it's just like, why would Simon Moore pick it up if it was a blatant pass back?
Exactly.
Like, you know, it's either Simon Moore's lost his head or the ref's lost his head. Like, it's, do you know what I mean?
He had so much time, Simon Moore, as well. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like,
he literally controlled it.
He like put his foot in it and he just thought, like, mate, I was like thinking, yeah, it was bizarre. And it was like one of those where we were well on top. And suddenly they got this moment where you're thinking, have they been gifted this opportunity to regain the lead? And more credit for Rose. He was very brave from the resulting shot, to be fair. And I was worried. I was waiting because I'm at the other end. I was just waiting for the net to like bulge.
And also, I have to give a shout out to Fads as well, because I don't know if you noticed, but most of our players sort of looked at each other thinking, what on earth happens here? Like, you know, they kind of perhaps don't work on it in training, but yeah, Fads seemed to kind of... Fad seemed to kind of get it organised, didn't he? And get us set up well for it. So, yeah, weird one. Andy, have you seen many of them in your time?
Not many, Tom. No. But that kind of summed the next performance up, didn't it, really? Let's be honest, he was... he didn't have the best of games, did he?
No, well, we've got three to talk about. The next one's the penalty shout on Vic just before half-time. I was going to say, Ross, you probably had the best view of it out of all of us.
Yeah, so this season there's been a few where up my end, and I've sort of been like, I'm not sure. This one, I mean, if Vic's doing that to the defender outside the box, he's definitely given a foul. You know, he's been absolutely hauled down. I mean, it's, yeah, the inconsistency, it was just shocking. But you just knew the ref was never going to give it, though. Like, you can just, I mean, he was literally dragged down to the floor. You know, Vic's a strong guy. Vic doesn't go down, like, easy. And I thought it was a pen. I mean, like I say, if Vic's doing that to the defender and he runs through one-on-one and scores, the refs go, no, it was a foul on the defender. So, yeah, I mean, exactly. I thought it was a pen, but this was after the ref, this ref had already given the indirect free kick. And I don't know, I agree with Andy. I thought it was shocking, to be fair. So I just never thought he was going to give it. But we didn't let that affect us, which was good. But yeah, it should have been a pen, I think.
Yeah, exactly. There was one just after halftime as well, Andy, on Hamer outside the box. He was sort of assaulted almost down to the floor. And ref just, you know, waved play on. So,
yeah, he did.
Baffling, really.
Baffling all around the ref's performance. Let's be honest, he was shocking. I don't know what you needed to do to get a foul. Somebody's performance up, Tom, really very poor, but luckily it didn't affect us. This didn't affect the result anyway, did it? So.
Exactly. Didn't affect us, and you know, we looked really, really on top in the start of that second half, and we knew the next goal was going to be really important, and we did get it. Wasn't the prettiest, Ross, but great to see Cal get on the score sheet.
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, it's what we've been, it's what we've wanted since he scored against that only goal this season, which was against Bristol City. You know, every game, you know, he's going to get chances. He had one against Luton, didn't he, midweek, which was frustrating because, again, it was 6 yards out and he hits it straight at the keeper. So I think all of us as fans, he's so good. And like Andy, you said, you don't realise what you've got in him until he's not in the team. And all we want is him just to maybe not score loads and loads, because it would probably make him leave, but enough, like, you know, to get some more points. And that's what he needed. That's the sort of goal that Waghorn needs, one where it's just like, just force it over.
Goes in.
But funnily enough, this is another one where I think if Matty Godden is in Jokeres's position, I think it just goes straight in. Do you know what I mean? I think he finishes the initial shot. I mean, the keeper saved it and it hit the post. Obviously, it was up your end, Wardy. I thought, I was waiting for the ref to blow for something. I genuinely was.
Yeah, it was a bit chaotic. It was all bouncing around on the line. I was going to say, it was actually quite funny, really, because we obviously scored. You saw it over the line. You knew it was a goal. And then it was like, look up at the scoreboard to see who scored it. And when Cal's name came up, there was almost a second cheer from the crowd, you know, because it was Cal. Yeah. Which shows, you know, how much he's loved. And, you know, you just buzz him when he scores, aren't you?
And you saw his game just go from there, which was already really good.
Oh, yeah.
And he just went, he became unreal. And then the second goal just showed it, oozed. I mean, that's the composure he's been missing. You know, suddenly it was there. And I thought, wow, if he can do that on Wednesday and between now and the end of the season, we've got a real chance.
Yeah. Andy, the third goal was brilliant, wasn't it, from Cal?
Very impressed with Vic's play on this one. I thought his... he was positive with the ball, wasn't he? He was...
And the movement ball as well. The movement from both of them was just brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Premier League quality. Yeah,
it was. It was a really, really good goal. A bit like a five-a-side goal, weren't it, Tom? That you cut inside and then you hit it first time in the corner. It was a really, really good goal. And It shows that Cal's got it in the locker, doesn't he? He just doesn't do it enough. And like Ross said, perhaps that's a good thing, because if he did, then he wouldn't be playing for us, would he? But
yeah.
If he could start, you know, I'm going ahead of myself now. I'm thinking for next season, because he's signed up as well, isn't he? Which is good business again by the club.
Yeah.
If he starts chipping in a bit more and Vix keeps scoring, we keep Godden fit, maybe the clinical edge is there, maybe. And maybe just add a couple of bits and pieces around it. Yeah, maybe we can, we're not that too far away. Certain people like Cal just does need to score a little bit more, because his all-round play is fantastic. But if he adds goals to it, he's going to help us no end for next season.
Yeah, and like Ross said, he doesn't need to score loads. You know, it's just 5 to 10 goals, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's what we need. And if you've got one or two players doing that in the midfield, then 100%. And you've got, you know, a Vic scoring 15 and a Godden scoring off, 12 to 15, that's all you need, you know?
And he's always good for a chance, O'Hare. Do you know what I mean? His positioning, he always gets a great chance in every game.
Yeah.
So, often he's always contributing. And yeah, it was brilliant. I think I don't think anyone could, there was no one more, anyone in the fan, the crowd wanted to score, to be fair, and to get a brace for O'Hare. I was buzzing for him. And I think we'll see, and I think he'll be full of confidence, as he should be, on Wednesday night.
Yeah, for sure. We got the fourth goal. I thought this was a brilliant bit of play by Mattson. He had a really good game, I thought, yesterday as well. He found O'Hare, who slid the ball to Matty Godden, and Ross, Matty Godden doesn't miss from there, does he?
No. I mean, to be fair, I from my end, it was a brilliant turn from Mattson. As you say, he looked very, very sharp yesterday. Great ball, O'Hare. Great first touch. And I saw the keeper come out and I thought, oh, he's going to shoot here. You know, he just scored two. He's on a hat trick.
But
unbelievable. Just so unselfish. And so to get two goals and an assist, and he puts it on a plate for Matty Godden. You know, 1,000 times out of 1,000 times he's putting that in the back of the net. And we just made it look so easy. It was just unbelievable football, you know, brilliant football. It was relentless. Again, we kept Sheffield United penned in. Like, if they tried to clear their lines, we'd always win it first with Hamer or Allen, and then we'd just go again. And yeah, it was a brilliant goal. And it was great to see Matty Godden get his first goal since having his appendix out and back. And he's on 11 for the season. And he was in unreal form before he was out, you know, for those few weeks. So if he's firing, and as Andy said, if we've got him and we've got O'Hare can score a few more, and Vic, and if, you know, Hamer can pop up, we've got goals in the side.
Absolutely. We made a couple of changes. Obviously, Higham came on for Fads and Kane came on for Dabo. I thought Dabo had a really good game yesterday, Andy, and starting to look more like the Dabo we know.
Well, it couldn't get much worse after his cameo against Preston.
Could it? True. Oh, true, that so, is true,
no,
yeah.
So, yeah, he was back to himself. And like I said earlier to you, you know, if he can finish the season strong for us, that's a massive bonus going forward, because him and Kane, you know, vying for that right wing-back spot is quite strong. So if they're both, on form, or if one dips and one can come in, because obviously Kane's struggling a little bit at the minute, you know, and Dabo takes his chance. Yeah, that was more like Dabo. He's you know, when he's in full flow, he's a steam train, and we know how good he is. He's a massive asset to the team, not just because of his play, his personality as well, Tom, to the squad.
Yeah.
He's a big player around the dressing room, and we need him more in the team than out, if you know what I mean.
Completely agree. It was good to see us as well, just not sitting back. We kept creating chances. Waghorn had one off the post in the last few minutes. Good to see this, Ross, and it probably could have been 6 or 7, couldn't it, really?
I think it should have been 6 or 7. You know, I mean, it could have been 8 or 9. It should have been 6 or 7. I mean, O'Hare, you know, he had a chance, a really good chance of a hat trick, didn't he? And we forgot the chance in the first half where it was 3-on-1 and Hamer then decided to hit it straight at the keeper. And then, as you say, Waghorn came on and he was having shots, and Jamie Allen was having shots, and yeah, it was just relentless. I mean, without their keeper making those saves, it would have been 6 or 7. And I really wanted Waghorn's just to go in. I think he'd get like an extra cheer, because I think it's what he needs. He's clearly low on confidence. Clearly, you know, these players aren't, you know, they see the stuff. Do you know what I mean? They're aware
of course.
Criticism and on Twitter and on social media, and it's I do think as a fan base, we need to support him. It has been frustrating at times. I think he was really good in the first part of the season up until he got COVID, I think, and he didn't play in the Fulham game. And obviously he's come back and he's not hit those levels. And obviously because as a striker, you're always going to look at the goals and he's only got one. And then, so then the frustration does come from the fans. But I think, yeah, it'd be nice for him to get a goal and he sort of looked confident. It's probably a good sort of scoreline to come on, you know, when the game is won. And
yeah, exactly.
Hopefully, I hope. Yeah, I mean, I've got faith because I think he's capable. I just think he needs a goal, like O'Hare's first one, just to hopefully take the shackles off him a bit, and then maybe he'll be able to play with a bit more freedom. Because, like Andy said earlier, against Luton, for example, it just looked very, I don't know, like it was almost like he's overthinking everything he was doing. And then he was in actually really good positions a couple of times, and his colleague, you know, Hamer or whoever it was, didn't play the ball to him. So he's probably getting frustrated because he thinks, I really want just a golden chance, which I can sort of back myself and put in the back of the net. So hopefully that will come, but he'll keep working hard. But it's going to be hard for him to get in the team with Godden and Vic on form.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Great result in front of the legends, Andy. Yeah, good to see obviously them there. A lot of great faces there. But yeah, great result. And I don't know, what are your thoughts on playoffs? Is it back on, or do we need to sort of see how the next couple of games go?
I think we need to see how the next couple of games go, to be honest. I've been a bit like, after a couple of wins, I'm always like, yeah, it's back on. You know, we're going to do it. And then it always falls down a little bit. But I think we just need to see, let's get past Hull, see what we do there. This stage of the season, Tom, is just take every game as it is and just judge it on its own merits and just enjoy the ride. Because like Ross said earlier, we are 1 point away from equaling our total from last season.
Yeah, I mean, now, yeah,
that
exactly.
That is crackers, isn't it? That is crackers.
Yeah, I mean, everything's a bonus. Everything's a bonus in theory. Like, you know, if we miss out on the playoffs, it's not the end of the world.
No,
you know, we never expected it. So the actual target for the season was to improve on last year, wasn't it? That was the realistic one. And we're going to do that.
We are going to do that, and we're going to do that by a lot. And that's all you can ask for in football, is improve season on season, can't you? And that's how progression is made in football clubs. And really good, fair play to everyone. And yeah, let's see how we get on against Hull, and then we'll go from there, Tom.
Yeah, sounds good to me. I'll grab a man of the match from you both. Ross?
Yeah, the scoreline, it was a brilliant performance. So many great performances out there, I think. Big mention to Hamer again. He was electric. He never stopped running. The same with Jamie Allen. And those two together, they were the midfield, you know, earlier in the season. And they were brilliant again today. But I think I've got to give it to Victor Gyökeres. I just thought he led the line unbelievably well. Powerful, quick, skillful. Set up O'Hare, scored himself. And he was just relentless again from minute one to minute 94 or 95. Yeah, he was brilliant. So man of the match for me is Victor Gyökeres.
Andy?
Cal O'Hare for me. I think his contribution turned the game for us in our favour in the crucial period of time. Two goals, second and third goals, really put the game away from Sheffield United. And his all-round play was fantastic. You know, he had 8 shots, which is the most from any of our players. And he had 2 goals and 1 assist. So he had a really good afternoon's work. And special mention to Jamie Allen, like Ross said, he was like a man possessed. He was like a little terrier in there, wasn't he? He was just absolutely fantastic. And another special mention goes to Clark Salter at the back.
Yes,
If we can get him tied down, if he signs for us, that would be huge.
Big signing, that would be, wouldn't it, Andy?
He is a massive, massive player. He's quality.
Yeah. He's added that balance, hasn't he? Left-footed player on that side. You know, obviously that was high and was having to fill in there. But you can just, it makes a huge difference, doesn't it, to the way we play
100%.
Out. He's been brilliant. I agree. I think he goes under the radar, to be fair, actually. He does. He wins a lot in the air, doesn't he? Last headers
He's quality, Ross. And if we can get him signed up, that will be huge business.
I agree. Hopefully we can get that over the line in the summer.
You're listening to Sky Blues Extra.
We'll now look ahead to the next two fixtures for the Sky Blues as they entertain Hull at the CBS on Wednesday, followed by a trip to Derby on Saturday. Andy, the Hull game is one, of course, we'll want to get 3 points in, but you always get that feeling it's not going to be the easiest of games.
No, not at all. Obviously, we beat them at their place, didn't we? 1-0. Godden header, wasn't it? But yeah, no, you never know. But I expect us to get 3 points here. Obviously, they've changed the manager. McCann's gone, hasn't he, recently? So probably go into more detail about that in a minute. But yeah, looking at the results, they haven't been great. The only team they've beaten recently is Peterborough, and they're shocking, aren't they? So this is a game that really, if we want to be making the playoffs, we need to get 3 points out of the top.
Yeah, absolutely. Completely agree with you there. Ross, what have you made of Hull this season? I know they signed Liam Walsh in January. Is he someone who could feature? Has he been playing for them?
He's not been playing a lot. You know, he wasn't in the squad on the weekend just gone. He sort of came on as a sub in their defeat.
What a waste of talent.
Well,
that is.
It's crazy, isn't it? You know, because we won the league and we were, all of us, me included, you know, clamouring. You know, we really wanted him back because he was obviously sensational and so influential in that season when we got promoted. And obviously we brought in Hamer, who's just gone to another level. And you look at Walsh and he was at sort of, went to Swansea, hasn't done anything, Hull, and he's hardly played any minutes in about two seasons now. And you just wonder what's gone on there, because, you know, he was brilliant, wasn't he?
Yeah, strange.
It's a real tough one. And Hull, I mean, to be fair, I was very disappointed because, you know, other podcasts said they were going to finish in the playoffs this season. So, you know, when they only won one from the first 12 games or something, I was thinking, what's going on? But they're a very streaky side. Obviously, they've changed the manager and they've not had a great run with him. I mean, as you said, Andy, their only win was Peterborough and they were losing a lot of games and a few draws in there as well. So, as Andy says, Tom, I think we need to back up that great win and performance against Sheffield United. If we want to get the playoffs, then we have to get a win here. No two ways about it. At home, it's £20 a ticket. Hopefully we can get a good crowd. And let's just go for it. Let's just play free-flowing football, confidence. You know, they're a very beatable side. They haven't had a great... I think they've won like once or twice since their new manager came in. And that's it. And obviously they've dropped down the table. So there's nothing to be frightened of here. Let's just take the game to them. And if we can just take our chances, that's the key. We can't go behind to a team like Hull, because then they'll just shut up shop and then it just becomes frustrating. So it'd be nice to take the lead in the game for once.
Yeah, it would, wouldn't it? For all of our sake as well. Andy, how would you approach this one in terms of the lineup?
Probably the same as what was Saturday, to be honest, Tom. I can't see how you can, if I'm being honest, unless injury comes in. The only one maybe is bringing Hyam back in, but maybe probably not, because obviously he's been struggling a little bit as well. I wouldn't change it, Tom. I don't see how you can. Not after a big performance like that. I'd go unchanged.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I guess I don't know if it's been said. I hadn't read anything about what extent Fads' sort of injury was, or whether it was just precautionary, but I guess that's probably the only one I can really see. I mean, you're not going to change, you know, Godden, Vic, O'Hare all scored goals. They're our attacking three. Hamer and Allen were unbelievable. So, no, I agree. I think it'll be unchanged. And if there's only one change, I think it'll be Hyam back in for Fads, and then Rose will move to the centre of the three, I think.
Yeah, I probably agree with you both there. Grab some predictions, Andy.
Yeah, I think we'll win this 2-1, Tom.
Yeah, that'll be ideal. Ross, I'll let you have the Tweet League prediction.
I'm going to go 3-0.
Ooh.
Yeah, I think O'Hare's going to score again, I believe. I think he's going to be full of beans. I think this is the game where we go a couple up in the halftime or something and hopefully see it out. So, yeah, hopefully we win.
That'd be nice. We'll just have a quick word on the Derby game on Saturday. Another sold-out travelling support, so it should be a good game, good atmosphere. It's in front of the Sky cameras as well, Andy. So really want to look forward to for the Sky Derby, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Local game. It's not really a local derby, but yeah, it's a local. Well, it's not
a bit feisty.
It is, yeah. It can be at times, especially if you put your grey tracksuit on again, Tom.
Exactly. Right. You have to wash it, ready.
You will. But no, mate. Yeah, something to really look forward to. And they're not in great form. I know they've won a couple, but that's mainly against people that, like Peterborough and Barnsley, they've won a game against, but they've lost a few recently. So there's no reason, again, that we can get... If we get a positive result against Hull, if we get 3 points, you can go there and get a point, can't you? That'd be not too bad result, would it?
That's half broken down the week, is sort of win your home game and draw your away game. That's a solid week, isn't it?
100%.
You know, and obviously, you know, if a couple of results go your way, that helps as well. And a lot of teams are playing each other. So yeah, Ross, they're interesting, aren't they, Derby? They're in, you know, a bit of a false position. They've had a pretty good season, actually. They probably, I think they'd be around mid-table, wouldn't they? If it wasn't for the points deduction. So it's going to be a test for us on Saturday, isn't it?
Yeah, it'll be a tough test. I mean, they gave us a tough game in the league earlier. You know, they were the first team to get anything from the CBS Arena this season in that 1-1 draw. Yeah, you're right. They'd be on 45 points without the 21-point deduction. So they would be sat in 16th place and obviously safe above the other sort of bottom three. But as Andy said, their form, I mean, I think part of it was they drew a lot of games. They didn't lose many at the start of the season. They probably had nothing to lose. And they sort of, but recently, as Andy said, the last three wins have been Hull, Peterborough and Barnsley all at home, which obviously you'd sort of expect to beat. And their form in the new year hasn't been very good at all. They've lost a lot of games. And I don't think Wayne Rooney's a great manager, despite the media hype. I mean, they would have gone down last year, you know, if it hadn't been Sheffield Wednesday's points deduction.
Of course.
You know, their fans say that, well, they shouldn't be down there now. Well, you would have been in League One anyway, if you know, take away Sheffield Wednesday's points deduction. But they obviously are a stronger team than they were last year. And obviously, they're quite good at home. Their home form has been their sort of, you know, saviour. As Andy says, you know, you want to go there, and if we can get a win on Wednesday, you go there full of confidence before the international break, and then we can sort of reset and reevaluate and see where we are and see how far we are off the playoffs. So it's going to be a tough game. I actually got a ticket, so I'm buzzing. So I'll see you there. I'll get my grey tracksuit on as well.
Yeah, you get a matching one. I'll let you know where to get one, mate.
Yeah, please do.
I'll grab some predictions from both of you, Ross.
2-2.
Cool. So you're planning an exciting week, Ross.
It's gonna be. Hey, we've started the week as we mean to go on, right? 4-1 win. I think that, 2-2.
Yeah, Andy, I'll let you have the Sweet League one.
1-1. Yeah, I think we'll win. I think they'll score early, and I think we'll equalise.
Cool. We'll take those. That's all we've got time for this evening, chaps. Thanks very much for joining me. Listeners, do make sure you check out our partner, Shortened Horn, across their different social channels. And as always, if you would like to get involved in the conversation with anything we've discussed, all you need to do is use the hashtag SkyBluesExtraPodcast.
Thanks for listening to the Sky Blues Extra Podcast.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.